It is a story of hope, a deliverer who came to save us from the punishment for sin and triumphed over the grave on our behalf in order that we might have eternal life.
Wonder Lake Bible Church,
building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
Well, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago, most people did not understand the true significance of his birth. See, he did not come just to tell us to be nice to one another. And it's also he did not come simply to tell us to love one another. Now, it's true, he did teach us to love one another, but that is not the sole reason why he was born. Now, you say he was born in order to save us, to deliver us from judgment, to deliver us from death. And that was the true significance of his birth. That is the true meaning of Christmas. Unto us a Savior has been born. You know, the Christmas story is not just a story of angels, of Mary, of Joseph, of shepherds and wise men from the East. It is a story of hope, a deliverer who came to save us from the punishment for sin and triumphed over the grave on our behalf in order that we might have eternal life. So it is a story of hope. Now, the meaning of his coming, though, was not well understood. In fact, he was opposed, violently opposed by some, starting right from the beginning with King Herod and going on to some of the religious rulers of his day who would plot against him and put him to death. So, no, the meaning of his coming was not well understood then. But even today, the meaning of his coming is still not well understood. And he is still opposed by many in the world today. But here tonight, we will celebrate the meaning of his coming by remembering the sacrifice of the Savior. We will celebrate that he has brought light into darkness and that he has given us eternal life through faith in his name. Our focus this Christmas season has been on prophecies of the Savior. We saw our need for a Savior, beginning with that very first prophecy of a deliverer in Genesis chapter 3. We saw his birth, born of a virgin in Bethlehem, as prophesied in Isaiah and in Micah, and how that was fulfilled in Matthew and Luke. And we saw, too, how the wise men from the East brought gifts to the child Jesus. And in doing so, they foreshadowed the giving of gifts from all the nations that will come to Messiah Jesus in his millennial reign. But even as those wise men brought Jesus gifts, so too we can bring him gifts. We bring him the gifts of our hearts, of our lives, of our all. For he is worthy. Now you see that baby Jesus right there. That baby Jesus, he grew up and he obeyed the law of God on our behalf. And he proclaimed the gospel, the good news of forgiveness and eternal life and blessing in his name. It is the greatest good news imaginable. And yet, he was opposed by the powers of the religious and political world of his day. You see, he threatened their position, and he called them out for their sin and their hypocrisy. And so the religious rulers of Israel schemed against him, and they conspired to put him to death, hoping to silence him forever. But they were wrong. I'd like us to this evening consider briefly then some of the prophecies of the Old Testament that related to that true reason for his coming, the true meaning of Christmas, those prophecies that relate to the rejection and the suffering of the Messiah, but then his triumph, his final triumph as well. The prophet Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9 says this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." We saw Jesus fulfill this prophecy when he rode humbly into Jerusalem on a donkey in that final week of his earthly life and ministry. The people lined the streets with palms and they shouted. What did they shout? Hosanna, Hosanna, which means what? Lord, save us. Save us now. And we remember that story every year on Palm Sunday. Zechariah, though, also speaks of a shepherd who would be rejected. This Messiah shepherd would be rejected. And in Zechariah chapter 11, he says, "Then I said to them, if it seems good to you, give me my wages, but if not, keep them. And they weighed out as my wages 30 pieces of silver. And then the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, the lordly price at which I was priced by them. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord to the potter." We saw in the ministry of Jesus how Jesus was betrayed by Judas. The Lord Jesus was the good shepherd who is betrayed for a price of 30 pieces of silver. And later, experiencing guilt over what he had done, Judas threw the 30 pieces of silver back into the temple. But this brings us to what I think is one of the greatest passages of prophecy of the Messiah, of his suffering and death, but his triumph for us. The gospel, one of the greatest passages of all, comes from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53. Where here we see Isaiah speak powerfully of this Messiah, whom he calls a man of sorrows, who would be silent before his accusers, but who would heal us by his wounds. Isaiah says, he, speaking of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, for he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. So many prophecies in that one passage right there about this Savior, Jesus. Isaiah told us some 700 years before the birth of Jesus, that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be rejected, that he would be afflicted and punished by God, that he would be crucified, that he would be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Now, some of us are listening to this, that, wait a minute, I thought Christmas was a wonderful time of year. We're celebrating. This is a sad story to talk about, this rejection and crucifixion. But you see, it is this sadness of that story that leads to the great joy of the season indeed, isn't it? So we celebrate, it's Christmas, but we're celebrating Easter as well here tonight. You see that the Lord Jesus triumphed for us, that he rose for us. You see, because it was this punishment that God laid on his Son, this punishment that would be the very thing that would bring us peace. Peace forever with God. By the wounds of his crucifixion, we have been healed. All of us, Isaiah says, are like sheep who have gone astray. It's true in his day, it's true in our day, isn't it? But the Lord has laid on him the sin of us all. Jesus was silent before his accusers, and he was taken away to Calvary following the trial before Pontius Pilate. He was cut off from the land of the living when he died on the cross. They made his grave with a rich man in his death when his body was placed in the borrowed tomb of a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea. And it was the will of the Lord to crush him as an offering for our guilt. But was that death on a cross the end of Jesus, as his enemies had hoped? No, not at all. It was his triumph and glory. For he was resurrected in glorious power 3 days later. And he saw his offspring, us. And he prolonged his days when he triumphed over death by his glorious resurrection. His resurrection, too, was the first resurrection. And all who believe in him will follow him one day when he raises these mortal bodies and clothes them forever with incorruptible glory and resurrection power. Isaiah told us that the Lord's servant, the righteous one, has borne our sins and made us to be counted as righteous. And we are counted as righteous through faith in his name. He lives today to make intercession for the transgressors. Who are the transgressors? The sinners? All of us, right? The Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God the Father, where the Scripture tells us he makes intercession. That is, he prays. He prays for you and for me. One day soon, the Scriptures tell us, he is coming back, and he will return in glorious power to judge all the world in righteousness, that he will come and bring his reward with him, that those who have received him will be blessed forever in his presence, while those who have rejected him will suffer the consequences of their rebellion. And so you see, this baby Jesus of Christmas is the Savior, who has and who will fulfill all of the prophecies of Scriptures of a deliverer. And so his coming has brought the glorious good news of the gospel, that through faith in him, his life, his death for our sins, and his resurrection from the grave, we can have forgiveness for sin and the gift of eternal life in his presence. And you see, this is the true meaning of Christmas. And I pray that we will all honor that true meaning in our hearts this Christmas. Now, I know, like many of you, that there are many concerns, many things that come along with Christmas. It's a wonderful time of the year, and yet it can be such a stressful thing too, can it? Raise your hand if you have felt a little stressed out at one time or another before this Christmas holiday. All right, I see it. I see those out there. But you see, all that stress isn't what it's about, is it? In fact, it's quite the opposite of that. It's not about stress and worry and anxiety and making sure everything is just right, just perfect. Now, I know I like to have things just right, too. You would have believed that if you would have seen me here this afternoon when I'm making slight micro-millimeter adjustments to the where everything is up here. I get that. And it's like, well, that candle is just a little bit higher than the other one. Let's get that right. Now, I know what it is to feel a little stressed out. I want all the details right. So maybe you want everything just right for your Christmas, too. But that's really not what we're celebrating, is it? The perfect party, the perfect Christmas dinner, the perfect gift to give to someone. Now, really what it's about is a perfect Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, celebrating that, giving thanks for Him. And not just the baby in the manger, but the baby who grew up and who gave His life for Him, for us, that we might live eternally. This is the true meaning of Christmas. You know, in a moment we're going to celebrate communion, His sacrifice, the sacrifice of the Savior. Before we do that, I want to tell you about something. Some of you know this. You've seen this before. For others of you, this might be a brand new thing for you. But I want to tell you, this is one of my favorite things about Christmas. Now, just a moment ago, I was telling you about how we have these rituals and routines, things that we like to do, things we enjoy with the Christmas. Well, you know what? There is one thing. I might say this may be my favorite part of all of Christmas. And I go, well, what is this about? And when I tell you, you might think, well, that seems such a little thing. But when you see it, if you haven't seen it before, I'm hoping it'll touch your heart. And you'll understand why this is such a favorite part of Christmas for me. But that is, you know, as we are preparing for the Christmas season here in the church, we're putting the decorations up and this wonderful tree goes up. Right here are these large gold ornaments all over the tree here. And after we had first put those up, got it all put together, I was in here one day and looking at that and I noticed something and I was stunned when I first saw it. And then I thought, wow, how amazing is that? And now every year when we put this tree up, I can't wait to see it. And that is, you know, in this tree we see reflected the true meaning of Christmas. Because you see these large gold ornaments here, they reflect light, and they reflect the lighted cross. And so as you come up here, you can see in that, you see yourself and then that lighted cross just above you there. And I think, wow, what a perfect illustration of the true meaning of Christmas right there. So I hope that you will see that tonight and remember that true meaning of Christmas. You'll have that opportunity to see it for yourself in just a moment. Now, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are invited to partake with us in these elements here, the bread and the cup, which are a reminder to us of the sacrifice of the Savior, of the Lord Jesus. It's a reminder of His sacrifice, but also a celebration of His triumph. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come forward to receive the elements. I'll ask you to come up on the stage here on the left side. And as you do so, would you pause for just a moment right here at Bethlehem? Pause for just a moment there at Bethlehem and gaze upon the baby Jesus right there. Give thanks there. Give thanks for the birth of the Savior. And just as the wise men brought gifts to the child Jesus, bring to Him your gifts too. Give Him the gift of your heart, of your life, of your all, for He is worthy. And then, Would you pause at the foot of the cross and there give thanks for the sacrifice of the Savior? Praise Him for saving you by living a life of perfect faith and obedience to the law of God, and then taking the punishment for your sins upon Himself and triumphing over sin and death by His glorious resurrection. And then when you're there, would you pick up the elements on the table at the foot of the cross, the bread and the cup. Take them back to your seat, where once everyone has been served, then we will consume the elements together as the one body of Christ. But as you are exiting the stage, again, I would challenge you to look to your left. Look to your left and see one of these large gold ornaments on the tree, where you will see that reflection of the lighted cross. Beautiful reminder to us all about the true meaning of Christmas. Would you please come forward now? Come up this way. On the night before the crucifixion, Jesus was gathered with his disciples in the upper room where they were celebrating the Passover meal. And he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Later that night, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we are celebrating this Christmas with our family and friends, it is a joyous time of the year, and yet we know it can also be a painful time of the year for many as well. Because, Lord, we live in a dark world, a world that is still under the curse of sin, that each of us, Lord, struggles with sinful attitudes and behavior that we know wreak havoc on us and on others. But we are so thankful, though, that you have sent a Savior who has delivered us, not only from punishment for sin, but who gives power through the Holy Spirit, through faith in Him, to triumph over that indwelling sin and rebellion. So God, we give thanks for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who gave His body that was broken for us, that took the punishment for our sins, that we wouldn't have to, who shed His blood, that we might be cleansed by the mighty, powerful, cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, forgiven of sin and made righteous, new, holy in your sight. We thank you for that. We thank you for Him. It's in His name we pray. Amen. And as I said, the world is a dark place, but Jesus Christ is the light that shines in the darkness of the world. And the Apostle John tells us this about Jesus. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the light and the love of Jesus Christ shine in your heart this Christmas and all the days of our lives forever and ever. Amen. Merry Christmas.